Amen. Our text for this evening is in Joshua chapter 6. And there we read in verse 25. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. And Joshua saved Rahab alive. When speaking about the Canaanites, Moses, the leader of Israel, had this to say: "For every abomination of the Lord which he hateth, have they done unto their gods." That is quite a powerful statement. Every abomination, have the Canaanites done unto their gods. Every abomination that God hates, the Canaanites had committed in the face of a holy God as they served their man-made gods. Deuteronomy 12, verse 31. So the Canaanites were unrestrained in their abominable acts of debauchery and degrading behavior of their depraved nature. And what was said about man in the days of Noah could be used to describe the Canaanite in the days of Joshua. Genesis 6 and verse 5, "The wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." The wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And so it is hardly surprising that such abominations committed by the Canaanites was done unto their gods. Not did they acknowledge the God of heaven. Because they served their own gods, dead, man-made gods, they then committed every abomination in the eyes of the thrice holy God of heaven. And you see, where there is no acknowledging of a living God, where man does not acknowledge there is a God in heaven, where man believes that there is no God to answer to, then man will commit every abomination under heaven, because he believes there is no hell to be shunned. There is no heaven to be gained. There is no God to answer to. And we see that everywhere we turn today. Every abomination under heaven is being committed by man today in this world. The wickedness of man is great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart is only evil continually. That is a commentary of today, of mankind today. So with every sin imaginable being committed by man and woman in Canaan, Judgment. Judgment was bound to follow. Judgment was on the horizon. As we read in verse 21, and they utterly destroyed. They utterly destroyed all that was in the city. Both man and woman and young and old and ox and sheep and ass with the edge of the sword. All destroyed. As we have already said, judgment will follow sin as sure as night follows day. We read at the beginning of verse 24, and they burned the city with fire. And so in this scorched earth policy, would anyone be saved? Would the people of Cana be so completely removed from the face of the earth that there was no hope for anyone? Yet somewhere in the fires of God's wrath and indignation, God remembered mercy. For one of Jericho's worst of sinners, a scarlet sinner indeed, a harlot by the name of Rahab, was saved. Named after an Egyptian god, this woman lived a life of shocking sin and was no different from all the others who committed their abominations before the Lord there in the city of Jericho. She was no different. Yet, this scarlet sinner was saved. Yet this woman was plucked as a brand from the burning. Literally. Because the city was burned with fire. And out of that city was plucked this soul. A brand from the burning. That surely gives hope to every sinner who hears the gospel. There is hope. And God is prepared in his wrath to remember mercy. So how then was this brand plucked from the burning? First of all, we want to consider the contact that was made with Rahab. We read in our text, and Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive. But a number of events took place before Rahab was saved. Contact was made with her when Joshua sent two men to spy out the city of Jericho. And we see that contact was according to the providence of God. Providence played a major role in the salvation of Rahab. Of all the people in that sinful city of Jericho, in the providence of God, contact was made with Rahab. Look at chapter 2 and verse 1. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go, view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Of all the houses on the walls of Jericho, you would say that would be the last place that these two spies would have gone to. But they went to the house of Rahab the harlot, and that was the first contact that was made with this woman. How do you explain that? That is explained by the providence of God. Had that contact not been made with this woman, out of all the people in Jericho, had the contact not have been made with Rahab, then she would have perished with all others in the city of Jericho. Just as it was regarding a man in a place called Leda. For in the providence of God, Peter made contact with him. And it was just in providence. Wasn't arranged beforehand except in the mind of God. For we read in Acts chapter 9, and there in verse 32, and it came to pass as Peter passed throughout all the quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda, and there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole, arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. Just a providential meeting. We would say, oh, just a chance meeting. Well, there's no chance with God. And here in the providence of God, this man was contacted and his life was changed. Paul and Silas made contact with a woman called Lydia, a seller of purple. And through that contact, Lydia received the gospel and received Christ. Acts 16, verses 14 and 15. And then how do you explain Paul and Silas being arrested and beaten mercilessly and then put into prison in Philippi? And while those men are in prison, they make contact with the jailer. Now, if Paul and Silas had not have been arrested, they would not have been put in prison and they would not have made contact with the jailer. It's the providence of God. And they made contact with the jailer and they gave him the gospel, because they said unto him, or he said, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And glory to God, that's what happened. The jailer was saved and his house. All through that contact. Through Paul and Silas being arrested and put in prison. And they gave the jailer the gospel. So it was with this woman, Rahab. And I'll tell you something. Every one of us is here tonight in the providence of God. God brought us here. God had a plan for each one of us to be here this night, because we believe he's a sovereign Lord. We are not here tonight by chance. And God has given us a message to preach tonight. And God has brought us all here tonight to hear this message. All in the providence of God. The hymn writer says, God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable mines of never-failing skill, he treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. And in the sovereign will and plan of God, we're here tonight to hear the word and to hear this particular word about a brand plucked from the burning. So the contact was according to providence. The contact was made by the persons, two persons. That is, the persons who actually made contact with Rahab were two young men who Joshua called in verse 17 of chapter 6 of Joshua. He called them the messengers. Yes, they were spies, but Joshua doesn't call them the spies. He calls them the messengers. And so if they are messengers, they must have a message. And the two young men were sent to Jericho with a message, and Rahab was the one who received that message about the overthrow of the city. Verse 22, but Joshua said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into a harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And we're told, and the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the city, and they burned the city with fire. The two young men, the two messengers, brought Rahab and all that she had out of the city. No doubt they told her what was going to take place. The fire is going to fall upon the city. The sword of God's wrath is going to be wielded. And so they brought her out and all that she had. The two young men were the messengers, but her salvation was attributed to Joshua. And Joshua saved Rahab, the harlot, alive. You see, the two young men delivered the message. But Joshua is the one who was declared as saving Rahab. And we all know Joshua of the Old Testament is the same as Jesus of the New Testament. It's the same word. Only one is in Hebrew, and the other is in Greek. So now you can read it, and Jesus saved Rahab alive. And that's exactly how it is. God sends forth his messengers with a message from God. It's a message of warning about the coming day of God's wrath. He sends forth his messengers, and woe betide those messengers if they do not deliver the message God has given to them. Well, these two messengers delivered the word that they had been given. Just like the messengers who came to Abraham, Genesis 19 and verse 15, and when the morning arose and the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. The Lord was going to send the fire, the judgment, upon the cities of the plain. And God sent messengers. He sent his angels. That's what the word angel means. It means a messenger. He sent his angels to deliver the message to Lot and his family to get out of the city. Because God was going to judge the city. And look at what else was said. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful. In wrath, you see, he remembered mercy. The Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought them forth and set them without the city, just like Rahab. But look at verse 17. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. In other words, for Lot and his family, the place of refuge, the place of safety, was a mountain. And you know something? For sinners today, there is a mountain that's the place of safety and the place of refuge. It's called Mount Calvary. Because it is there on Mount Calvary that the fires of God's wrath have already fallen. They fell upon God's Son. And if the fires of God's wrath have fallen upon Christ at Calvary, and you go to the cross, then the fire will not fall on you. Like a father and his son. We're out one day in the plain somewhere, and they noticed in the distance smoke ascending. And they noted that a grass fire had been started and it was coming in their direction. They knew from experience they could not outrun the speed of the fire. And the father's young son was very afraid and said, Dad, we're going to be burned alive. So what did the father do? He lit a fire where they were standing. He lit a fire where they were standing. And that became a fire line. And the father and his son stood on the place where they had lit the fire, so that when the grass fire that was coming towards them reached that line, it couldn't burn anymore. The father and his son stood where the fire had burned, and they were safe. And that's why sinners need to get to the cross, because there at the cross the fire has already burned. And the fire of God's wrath will not fall on them. We notice also the place. John Bunyan, in his Pilgrim's Progress, spoke about the city of destruction. That title could be given to the city of Jericho, city of destruction, as we have already noted. There in chapter 6 and the verse 21, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, city of destruction. And they burned the city with fire. How many poor souls are living today in the city of destruction? Because when John Bunyan, in his Pilgrim's Progress, spoke about the city of destruction, he was picturing the world. The world is the city of destruction. For the world is ready for the day of destruction. The world is ready for the day of wrath. And I tell you, dear hearer tonight, when you see what's going on, you hear what's happening in the world today, that day of wrath is not far away. It can't be. And many souls are living in the city of destruction, living for their sin, committing every abomination under heaven, living as if there is no God. They don't believe for a minute there's a great white throne judgment. Well, I tell you there is. And the day of destruction cannot be far away. If we read in the book of the Revelation, in verse 12, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. Why, we hear plenty about them. Even in this past week, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. This is what it'll be like. When God pours out his wrath upon the world, and the stars of heaven fell onto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken with a mighty wind, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. John saw it coming. John was given a very vivid picture of the day of God's wrath. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, for the wrath from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of God's wrath has come. And who shall be able to stand? And the answer to that question, who shall be able to stand? The answer is no one. As it was in Jericho, every man, every woman, old and young, all the animals, were all slain with the sword, and the city itself was burned with fire. That day is coming that will be 1,000 times worse than what happened in Jericho. The day of God's wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? I'm sure in the providence of God, Rahab was glad that contact was made with her, and that she escaped the wrath of God upon sin. That's why the wrath of God fell on Jericho, because of her sin. And Rahab was saved and plucked as a brand from the burning. You have the contact made with Rahab, then you have the confession of Rahab. When Rahab spoke with the two messengers in her house, she confessed something. If you look at chapter 2 of Joshua and verse 9, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what he did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in the earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord. Remember, this was a woman who was named after an Egyptian god. And here we find Rahab confessing the name of the God of heaven, owning the God of heaven as her God. Because she said to the two men, swear by the Lord that you will save me, that I will be saved from the destruction that's coming upon this city. There you have her belief. She believed in the God of heaven. She's confessing to the two messengers that she knows the true and the living God. She's not looking to man-made God. She's not looking to the God that she was named after. She's not looking to the God of the Canaanite. Instead, she's looking to the God of heaven, the one living and true God. Now we know why we read those words, and Joshua saved Rahab the harlot arrive. Rahab was saved from certain doom and destruction because she believed. What did Paul and Silas tell the jailer? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe and be saved. For you see, there is no salvation, there is no deliverance except through believing and putting your trust and faith in the living God. Christ is the living God. That's how Rahab was saved, just as all others are saved. You know, some people believe and they teach that those in the Old Testament were saved in a different way. No, they weren't. There's only one way. From Genesis to Revelation, there's only one way of salvation. And that's through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Sinners in the Old Testament, they look forward to the cross. We today look back to the cross. And we're saved in the same way. Ephesians 2 and verse 8, by grace are you saved through faith. How was Rahab saved? By grace. How could you say it was anything else but grace that saved a woman like Rahab, a harlot? It's the grace of God. By grace are you saved through faith? Yes. Paul wrote that in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 in the New Testament. But that's how Rahab was saved in the Old Testament. She was saved by grace. And we read in Hebrews 11 verse 31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not. By faith she perished not. By grace are you saved through faith. That's how Rahab was saved. That's how you're saved. That's how you can be saved. It's the only way to be saved. For you see, there is no other path to salvation. There's no other plan. There is no other person who has the power to save but Jesus Christ alone. Nobody has the power to save but Christ alone through his precious blood. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save those or them that believe. To save them who believe. That's what Rahab did. She believed in the God of heaven. And Rahab believed, and Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive. She was plucked as a brand from the burning. You have her belief, you have also her behavior. Her belief in God brought about an immediate change in the behavior of Rahab. She didn't go back to her old ways. You see, that's what repentance is all about. Repentance means a turning away from. And Rahab turned away from her old sinful, wicked life. And what did she do? She did something for her God. What did she do? She hid the spies. God's messengers. God's servants. From living for the devil. Now we find Rahab living for the Lord. For we read in Hebrews 11, by faith, verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not when she had received the spies with peace. Rahab the harlot, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not. Notice the order. Faith in God came first. Then she hid the spies. She received them with peace. Her faith in God first. Her belief and then her behavior. And my, what a change had been wrought. James and James 2, verses 25 and 26, speaks there about faith without works is dead. He wasn't talking about being saved by works, no. He's talking about being saved by faith, and then the works come afterwards. Exactly how it was with Rahab. When Bartimaeus got saved, he didn't go back to the begging. When the Lord gave Bartimaeus his sight, he didn't go back to where he was before, sitting at the side of the road begging. No, Bartimaeus had a new life. And he followed the Lord. See, when a soul gets saved, they don't go back to the old ways. They endeavor to do what they can for the Lord. And that's exactly what Rahab did. Faith in God, then the good works. She received the spies with peace. What did Paul say? Any man that is in Christ, all things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul which so long I had sought since Jesus came into my heart. I have ceased from my wandering and going astray. Since Jesus came into my heart, all my sins, which were many, are all washed away. Since Jesus came into my heart. Rahab experienced that wonderful change. And no sooner had she placed her faith in God than she begins to serve God by hiding the spies. Then we notice not only her belief and her behavior, also have her burden. Rahab had a burden. No sooner had Rahab put her faith in the God of Israel than Rahab had a burden for her family. For we read in chapter 2 and verse 12, "Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father, my mother, and my brethren, and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." That was our burden. It's the burden of many a Christian. No sooner were they saved than they had a burden to see the rest of the family saved as well. They didn't have to look too far outside their own household and their own family circle. And there's Rahab. And she had a burden for her mother, her father, her brothers, her sisters. You know, the Bible tells us about a man who had a burden for his brothers, but the burden came too late. We read about him, or we're told about him by the Lord in the story about the rich man and Lazarus. There's the rich man, and he fared sumptuously every day. And he died, and he went to hell, and he was tormented in the flame. All he wanted was a drop of water. And when he was told he couldn't have it, he said, "I have five brethren at home. Send Lazarus and tell my brethren not to come into this place." He had a burden for his brethren, but it was too late. There's many a Christian today, and they have a burden for their mother, father, sons, daughters, brothers, sisters. Because you see, Rahab wanted to have all her family with her. And wanted all the family, every member of it, to escape the city of destruction. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. The word accepted there means very acceptable. In other words, there's no better time for a sinner to get saved than right now. It's very acceptable. You don't know the Lord. Now is the time. Now is the acceptable time. It is very acceptable. In the last place, we have the confidence of Rahab. Because in Joshua 6 and verse 17, where we commenced our reading, and the city shall be cursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And verse 22, but Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. Now in all the houses in the city, how did the two spies know which house to go to? There were a lot of houses on the city walls. How did they know what house to go to? Well, there was the sign. The sign, we're told about it in chapter 2 and verse 18. Behold, when we come into the land, that's the two spies speaking to Rahab, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all the father's household home unto thee. Gather them all and bring them into the house and tie this scarlet thread in the window, so that when we come into the land and we come into the city, we'll know your house, we'll see the scarlet thread. What does that remind us of? The scarlet thread was the sign. Just as it was in Egypt in the night of the Passover, wasn't the scarlet thread, it was the scarlet precious blood of the Lamb. And when the blood of the Lamb was daubed in the doorposts of Israel, every Israelite home, all the family gathered in, mothers and fathers, sons and daughters, brothers and sisters, all gathered in to their homes. And when the death angel came, it passed over those homes. And everyone who lived in the home with has the sign outside on the door was saved. That's how we are saved. By the blood of the Lamb. And Rahab had every confidence in that scarlet thread, that that would be her salvation. And sinners can be confident that the blood of Christ will save them from every sin, and be confident that the blood will save them for time and for eternity. In the golden streets of heaven, all men hope to walk someday, yet so many are not willing to accept the living way. But while others build on good works or opinions, if they may, hallelujah, I'm depending on the blood. And I have every confidence the blood will not let me down. You have the sign, you have the saved, and Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive. As we already pointed out, Joshua is the same as Jesus. This is the message. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Notice, Rahab saved, or Joshua saved Rahab alive. Ah, but the Lord Jesus goes better, one better than that. He doesn't just save us alive. He saves us and gives us eternal life. Eternal life. He gives us life more abundant. He gives us everlasting life. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life. Those in Jericho did not see life, but Rahab did. And you have the security. Rahab and her family, her father's household, and all that she had. She dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. So she was outside the city, place of safety. She didn't perish. She wasn't lost. She was safe. Not only saved, she was safe. When the Lord saves a soul, he does a good job. When he saves a soul, he saves that soul for eternity. A brand plucked from the burning. That's what Rahab was. May there even tonight be brands plucked from the burning. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O Lord our God, we rejoice in the gospel message. Rejoice, O Lord, that it's a plain message, simple. Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. O Lord our God, write thy word upon the fleshly tables of every heart tonight. And we rejoice, Lord, thou art still plucking brands from the burning. Thou dost specialize in plucking brands from the burning. Continue that work, even through this witness here. Even in this house, and even through sermon audio. Use the word, we pray, to the glory and honor of thy holy name. Lord, be with us now as we part the one from the other. May thy good hand be upon us, Lord, in our travels tonight. And dear Lord, keep us near the cross throughout this week, rejoicing in Christ our Redeemer. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now. Forevermore. Amen.